Amen. All right, take your hymn books. Let's turn over to page number 292. 292, His Way With Thee. We don't sing this a whole lot. I won't tell you that I'm an expert with it, but I think it's a good one, and I want to sing it tonight. 292. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you can never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your soul and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. On the third, would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential test? Would you in His service labor always at your best? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, what a beautiful day it was today. Father, how You always take care of us, our needs, every one of them. Lord, I think about the cold. And Lord, so many would say we don't need it that cold. It doesn't need to be. But Lord, I know that it's all in Your plan. And Father, I love Your creation and how You've created everything. But Lord, most of all, I'm thankful for not just how You created me, but how You loved me before creation. Lord, You was willing to die for me before You ever breathed life into Adam. And Lord, I'm thankful for my salvation, thankful for the love that You have through it. As well, Lord, I'm thankful for the work that You continue to do in my life. And Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight, every one of us, that we would just come to that place that we'd say, Lord, have Your way with Thee. Lord, we just turn over the reins. Lord, try our hearts. And Lord, I pray that I don't take the reins back. I pray that I don't try to have my way, Lord, but instead I want to yield specifically to You. And Lord, just have Your way with thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Well, what a blessing. Turn over to page number 143. Good to see y'all. I seen Brother Stephen came on. 143, Blessed Assurance. I like this song. Jacob loves this song as well. He just doesn't like to play it. And Blessed Assurance, good old Fanny Crosby song. In fact, the next song we're going to sing, I think, is Fanny Crosby song too. Amen. I like old Fanny Crosby songs. What a heart for the Lord. 143, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On that last verse, perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's sing that chorus again. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Amen. All right, turn over to page number 7. Page number 7. I gave my life for thee. Amen. Aren't you glad to be saved? I know some would say, preacher, this is a YouTube video. This isn't just a YouTube video. This is church. I came so that I could worship Him. I came so that I could just enjoy Him. And I'm thankful to be saved. And I'm thankful for what He's doing in my life. And listen, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy at all for Him to do anything in my life. I'm not worthy to be saved. I'm not worthy to be a preacher. But yet I'm thankful that I'm not even worthy to be able to speak His name, but yet He says that He'll accept the praises that we send up. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, what a great God we have. What a great salvation He's given. And how great it is to have blessed assurance. I feel bad for those that are out there, and listen, they'll never work their way to heaven. I'm not saying they will, but they think that there's a chance that they might get there. But I can just rest back and sit back and have this blessed assurance that I don't have anything to worry about because He's taking care of everything. I gave my life for the page number 7, and this is a Philip Bliss song. I was thinking it was a Fanny Crosby, but I think that's page number 62, Saved by Grace. And I was about to sing that one as well. Page number 7. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for me. What hast thou borne for me? Let's look at the fourth verse here. And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? Amen. Amen. I'm thankful that he still saves old sinners. Amen. Yeah. I don't know if you're out there tonight. I see that I've got 20 people that's watching right now. And I hope that you can all rejoice with me in being saved. And if you can't, I'm thankful that today is the day of salvation. Sister Kathy had just put on there that Jesus has love in his heart for people like me. I'm thankful he has people like all of us. Every single one of us. There's not a single worm out there that deserves to be saved, but he loves us all. And what a great God we have. You know, I watch this time as so many people are wrapped up in the emotions of the Christmas holiday. But I'm thankful that it really is Christ that gives me a reason to have joy. It's not because of a season. It's not because of a holiday. But instead, it's all because of my Savior. And I know him personally, and he personally knows me. And so I'm thankful that he still saves old sinners like me. Amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight. Let's look over the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew 2. We're going to look here, and I know that my plan was to preach all these messages out of Luke 2, but I think that we need to go over to Matthew and continue with this thought about the product of the Redeemer. I am his product. This has taken place, and I gave you the definition this morning about a product and what a product is, and that a product is a thing or a person that is the result of an action or a process. And I'm thankful I'm a result of the action of salvation, and yet I find that I'm a product through process as well, that he's not done. There's so many that'll come and they'll pray a prayer, and they get up and they go on with their life, and they say, boy, you know, I'm done. I've got my fire insurance. I can walk away now. Everything's complete. But my dear friend, and there's much more to abundant life. There's much more to a saved life. There's a spirit that lives within us. It's not our spirit. It's his spirit. And he's doing a work. We can look over at the book of Philippians. And I don't want you to turn there right now. But, you know, I'm reminded of the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. And the Bible tells us in verse number 6. It says that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that he didn't give up on you? Aren't you? And there's not a single one of us that have arrived. I know Brother John Ridings is on here with us and been in the ministry many, many years. But may I tell you that it doesn't matter how long. I think about Brother Bill Winstead, missionary that we supported, went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. I think about Brother Stennett Ballou, just went home to be with the Lord this last year. I think about Brother Sammy Allen, went home to be with the Lord. Brother Glenn Bond went home to be with the Lord. But may I tell you that there's not a single one that God's done with as long as we're on this side of glory. And there's a work that he's doing. And so let's look over here at Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. And I believe that God's got a message for you here. And Brother Richard, absolutely right. That saving grace is changing grace. If you're saved, there's going to be a difference in you. And one thing that really concerns me is with this modern movement of salvation through a prayer. I'm afraid that they place more faith in the prayer than the one that they prayed to. And I'm very concerned with it because there's not any change going on in their life. There's not any difference in their life or in their walk. Some things don't seem right. Some things don't line up. And notice this. In Matthew 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea." And goes on and he says, "For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them, in verse number 8, to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I find here in verse number 11, it says, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you. Father, I know that we're having service from home. We're all on the internet together. Lord, I can't see their faces. I can't see where they are right now. But Lord, I'm thankful that you can. I'm thankful that you can meet with everyone that's here tonight. Lord, we truly did come. I know I can speak for myself that I truly did come so that I could just worship you, so that I could just praise your holy name. Lord, I'm thankful for the song service that we had. And Lord, just the sweet spirit that you've given me, Lord, the peace that I have within my heart, but all because of you. Lord, how we can rejoice and just, Father, have a shouting fit over our salvation that, Lord, it's never gotten old. And we still rejoice in the fact that we're saved. Lord, help us tonight as we see this work that you're wanting to do within us. Lord, that it starts at our new birth. It starts when we're born again. It starts the moment that we get saved. And Lord, that you continue it on all the way until you call us home to be with you. Lord, I pray, help us tonight to just rejoice, just to enjoy you. Lord, just to love on you. And Lord, just to let you have your way with thee. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, we look here, and verse number 3 has always bothered me. I'm one of those preachers, and I've preached this passage of Scripture several times in different ways. I like the fact that the star, of course, I know that the stars, if we were to go to the book of Revelation, we find that the stars are shining. You know, that's... I think of the dark days, we think of the moon. We know Jesus is the light represented by the sun, S-U-N and the S-O-N. The church represented by the moon, the one that's the reflector of the light. And then I find the individuals of it as far as the stars and just out there shining. And boy, I'm thankful for that one that led me to the Lord. I'm thankful for that one that was shining in my life, that I could get saved at a young age. And then I look here and I think about how these wise men rejoice. And I don't want to preach that. I think I preached a message that I titled Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And just how important it is that we would be that light shining in someone's life, that they could see the Lord and see where his star appeared and lead them straight to him. And verse number 3 bothers me. Now, it doesn't, you know, I'm not shocked that Herod was concerned. Let me read verse number 3 to you. It says, When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Now, I'm not shocked at all that he was troubled. It does not shock me that this lost world, they do what lost people do. You know, it doesn't shock me that they want to vote to have alcohol sales on Sunday. It doesn't shock me that Oregon wants to pass a law so that they can have cocaine, that marijuana has been passed and it's okay. And remember, it's the gateway drug. It leads to them all. But may I tell you that sin is the reason for all of it. And it doesn't surprise me that sinners do what sinners do. But what does trouble me out of this verse is, if you would read on, it says, not only was Herod the king troubled, but and all Jerusalem with him. All Jerusalem with him. Now, I just began to think about this, and I've preached it before, and I've thought on this before. It just I come to this idea and this understanding. Jerusalem, if we were to put them as an application, would picture those that are supposed to be the Christians, are supposed to be the church. Now, don't get me wrong now. The church does not replace Israel. That's not at all what I'm saying. The church does not take the place of Israel. Israel isn't the church. The church isn't Israel. And so, but I want us in the application to understand something. That the Jewish people shouldn't have been troubled by this. They should have been excited by this. When three wise men, or three Gentile, and we always give them the credit of three. We don't know how many. But we always give the credit of three because of the gifts is why I really think that we link that together. We don't know how many wise men. We know that there was wise men that came, but these were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And these Gentile wise men had came up, and they had seen the star in the east, and they said that I'm going to travel. Now, we had a very unique experience. We got to see what they consider to be the Bethlehem star. On the 21st, which was last Monday, the Bethlehem star shined the brightest here. And we were able to look out into the southwest sky and be able to see that. And really what it is where Saturn and Jupiter line up together and both of their lights shining together, or I don't know how it all works. I am not an astronomer, but I can tell you that it was really bright. It was very intense in the sky. And it was neat to see. And they said that it's been 1200 and some AD since 1226. I think it was 1226 AD since it had been seen and recorded. And then again, 7 BC or right around there. And, you know, very possible this was the very same direction. You say, preacher, would God really do that? God is in charge of all of it. You know what we need to see today is that His light hasn't quit shining. And it shouldn't trouble us when there's souls that come and say, hey, I've seen the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about some weird vision. I'm not talking about something crazy out there. But what I am saying is that the children of God should be able to see the Lord and see Him working today. Now, I didn't mean to get too sidetracked here, but it bothers me that they're troubled in it. It bothers me that they aren't excited about it. It bothers me that the scribes knew and they didn't follow. It bothers me that not a single person from Jerusalem had followed to see, hey, listen, we've been waiting on the Messiah. And they said that they've seen His star. They've identified it to be that He's born. I want to go. I want to know. I need to. And we don't find that. And it bothers me. Should have been excited. And so I look here, and as we think about the product of the Redeemer, of course I had titled this part two, I find that the product of the Redeemer is they delighted to worship. Why did they even come? In verse number two, the Bible says that they come to worship Him. The very reason that they traveled all those miles to get to Him was so that they could worship Him. I find in verse number 11, it tells us that when they came into the house, when they came in, they saw Mary, his mother. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped, notice this, Him. And so I find that this was the very reason they came. The very reason they came was to worship. I had told you this morning or this evening when we got it. Listen, I've just come to worship Him. All I want to do is worship Him. And I don't know that I purposely did it this way, but I look here and I find a growing process. If we were to look back at those shepherds and understand that as a babe in Christ, there are certain steps that we have. And they come to that place that they begin to be a witness. I remember when someone gets saved in the church, boy, they get excited. They begin to tell everyone. And the sad part is most of the old timers, they get so discouraged at the ones that are excited that they just want to kind of put them out a little bit. But they're already on fire. They just got lit. And we sing a song in the choir that says that, you know, I'm...
the fire still goes. The fire has flickered, but the flames never went out. And boy, I'm thankful that they became that witness. And then they were busy about the Lord's work. They were excited about it, and they were going. And these are just kind of those baby steps. And then they were bounding in their new walk, and they were just trying to understand what abundant living really was. You say, preacher, you mean that the older don't... that the younger don't worship until they get older. These are growing processes. I'm not saying that they don't worship, but they understand what real worship is as they grow. Jeremiah at 5 can't understand all the things that Jacob and John can at 25 and 21. John and Jacob don't understand all the things that I do at 47. There's a lot of difference as we grow, and it's no different spiritually. The Bible says that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, listen, it doesn't get old. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it just gets better, and it gets better, and it gets better. And so I look here, the very reason they came was so that they could worship Him. I'm afraid that so many times we come to church not so that we can worship, but just so that we can say that we have. I'm afraid that if the only time that we worship Him is when we're in church, that we're not really coming to worship anyway. You see, how great it is to be able to worship Him. How great it is to be able to just praise His holy name. But shouldn't we do that all the time? And so as we look at this process, they delighted to worship Him. And the reason that they came was worship. But then I find as well that they rendered it to the right person. When I look at verse number 11, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped Him. Him. You know, they didn't come, and Herod was king in that day, but they didn't come and worship Herod. I'm afraid that man worship still exists today. I look at the promotion of everything that's going on and with sports and with Hollywood, and man's promoted so much. I look at even business figures and, you know, hey, you want to follow them and follow their teachings. And I'm not saying that all of them's wrong. And that, listen, they don't have to be corrupt and perverted for it to be man worship. I'm even afraid that sometimes behind pulpits, the man's worship. Now, I think Brother Sammy Allen was a good preacher, but I'm afraid that there was times that there was man worship going on. Had a great following. I know Brother Danny has said before that he will not put in his newsletter where he's going, but instead he puts where he's been. And you say, preacher, what's the point in that? Because people will show up to follow a man instead of following the Lord. They didn't come to worship Herod. They came to worship Christ. They wanted to see the King of the Jews, not the King that was over the Jews at this time. They wanted to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They wanted to see the one that was the governor, the one that was going to have the world on his shoulders, the one that was going to shed his blood for their sins. You see, it was rendered to the right person. I find as well that it wasn't rendered to Mary. They didn't worship Mary. And my friend, Mary worship still goes on today. I have shared with you before that there's been times that we've been out door knocking and we've seen shrines in homes that are put up. Brother John, I know you definitely have seen it. It's still around today. They worship Mary. They pray to Mary. They trust in Mary. And it's all damnation. None of it's true. None of it's real. Mary's dead. I realize that she's in heaven with Christ, but she's not the Redeemer, and she's not the way to the Redeemer. And so I look here and I find that it was given to the right person. In John 4 and verse number 24, the Bible says, "And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And they came to worship the right one. Boy, I'm thankful He's the only one worthy of worship. He's the only one that our worship should go to. And as a child of God, do we delight in worship? You see, because for us to delight in worship, we have to bring our throne down. I'm reminded of Satan there in the book of Isaiah. Satan had said that I will lift up my throne. And may I tell you, he wanted worship for him. He had even told Christ as he had tempted him there in the wilderness, he had told him that if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you. He wanted that worship. Oh, may I tell you, this old flesh wants that worship. But for us to delight in worship, for us to delight in worshiping him, we must crucify this old flesh. John the Baptist had said that I must decrease that he may increase. I have to decrease to worship him. You know, one of the great parts of worship is I'm not seen in it. So many times, and I know I'm very vocal. I'm very loud. Boy, I don't mind saying amen. I don't mind saying hallelujah. Boy, there's some times I'll clap my hands. I'll praise the Lord. I'll just say glory. But it's not so that I can be seen. It's not for anyone around me. I just get excited. Boy, I'm telling you, we were singing Blessed Assurance there. I was about to have a hallelujah fit. We could sing it right now again. I'm ready to have a hallelujah fit and just enjoy him, just praise him. And they delighted in that worship, delighted in it. And so I look here and I find they had a different wealth. I told you these are growing steps. This is a work that's produced by Christ in us. And as we begin to grow and we delight in worship, we develop a different wealth. We develop a different wealth. Notice this. Their earthly treasures were sacrificed. Now, there's not a single one of us that doesn't have. There's not a single one of us that don't enjoy the riches that God's given us in the physical means. And I'm thankful. Listen, I'm not telling you I want us to go back to eating pinto beans three meals a day. That's not at all what I'm saying. I don't want us to live off of a bag of rice for a month. I rejoice in the fact that God feeds us and fattens us well, but I'm afraid that our earthly treasures aren't sacrificed very often. I look here and it tells us in verse number 11 that when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Notice this. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, I want to explain this. I'm not a preacher that preaches tithe. I believe in tithe and offering. I do. But I believe that as a child of God, when you grow to the point that God has all of you, he has all of you. That's including your riches, these earthly riches that he's given. And may I remind you that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one, all good gifts come from above. He's the one that's given you everything you have. You say, preacher, I worked hard for this. He's the one that gave you the ability to have the job and given you the job to have. And so as I consider this and I look at this, I find these earthly treasures, first of all, they presented gold. Gold. Now, to us, we would say that that gold is priceless and that gold is so valuable, but to God, it's pavement. Think about that for a moment. To God, it's pavement. And they presented this. And you say, well, preacher, what does that really mean? Now, we know gold in the Bible is preaching about purity or deity. But as God or as king, as they come and they're looking for the king of the Jews, as king, they're presenting him the gold as a tribute unto what they owe unto him or as what they were to give or paying tribute to the king. Now, I think of the fact that, listen, I owe Christ my all. And all I can do is be a living sacrifice and lay down on that altar and present to him the best that I have, not the worst. And one of the problems that we often come across and one of the problems that we have is we want to give him what's left. No, they set this aside and said, this is what we're given. This is the best of the best. And as a king, they're paying tribute. We could think of the fact that it was the Herodians that had tried to trick Christ with the inscription of the coin. Is it legal to pay taxes? Should we pay taxes? And Jesus had told them, what's the inscription on the coin? And they had And they said, well, it's Caesar. And he says, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. And so as they've came to the king, and they're rendering unto him the tribute that he deserves. And so then I find as well, they offered frankincense. Frankincense would have been a type of incense. And they would have offered up this incense as God receives the incense. And boy, I think about that sweet-smelling savor. I think about the incense of the prayers that are lifted. I think about the fact that the incense that was inside the tabernacle was a picture of the prayers being lifted, and they would keep that, and they would keep that going. Oh, listen, I find here that they had, as God, and listen, this is threefold, as king, he receives the gold. As God, he receives the frankincense. As myrrh, or the myrrh is as man. You see, myrrh was used to embalm. And as man, he must die. As man, he came to die. And they were preparing. Oh, what a picture. Woo, we have the perfect God right here. He's 100% God, 100% man. And he came, and he's worth all. And he hears all. As God, we can offer that up. And as man, he came to die. And so I look here that they have a different wealth. You say, preacher, what's their real wealth? Their real wealth was their real treasure. The real treasure that they had was the treasure they came to worship. You see, Jesus had their heart. In Matthew 6 and verse number 21, the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so I'm reminded here that the truth of the matter is he is our treasure. I'm not talking about what he can give us. I know over in the book of Proverbs, it tells us that a rich man has many friends. I remember the missions conference that we had a few years ago, Brother Sonny McGuffey, there in Nigeria, had came and he helped preach that. And one of the messages he brought was that out of Proverbs, where God had spoke to him and showed him that he is the rich man. May I tell you, there's a lot of people that love the Lord only because of what the Lord can do or does do for them. But I'm thankful that if he didn't do anything else, that he's still a treasure to me. I think of the song that I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. You know, this world is chasing riches that are going to perish. This world, and I guess I'm sad that it's not just the lost world. It's also the saved. They're chasing riches that are really never going to have any value. Chasing riches that are never going to help. But instead, we have the greatest riches in Christ. And so they had a different wealth. They developed a different wealth. You say, preacher, I mean, we just got a farm and God put it in our lap. And I was talking to Jonathan yesterday and I said, I just see everything falling in place, just how God's provided and just be able to have. And may I tell you that everything that I look at doing, it's so that I can do more for him. Because he's my treasure. Not this old world. Yes, I enjoy it, and God's allowed us. What a creation he's given us, and a place to be, and a life to live. But if I don't have him, I've often said that heaven, if he's not there, it's not really heaven. I know that there's people that are excited. They want to see the pearly gates. They want to see the crystal sea. They want to see the loved ones that have gone before them, and I do. I've got grandparents there. I've got a brother there. I've got a son there. I've got friends there. But if he's not there, it really won't be a great place. But may I tell you, I don't have to wait to see the riches of heaven. The riches of heaven isn't the gates. The riches of heaven is not the golden pavement. The riches of heaven's Christ. And I have that riches right now in me. And so I look as well. I find here in verse number 12 that they left a distinct way. They left a distinct way. I'm talking about the product of the Redeemer and what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives and how God changes us and how God works through us and in us. And listen, this isn't because of me. This isn't because of you. This isn't something that you can study and try to do. No, this is God doing it and God working. And so as I look here, I find that they were guided by God's word. Now, you don't have to, we're going to look here at verse number 12 real quick, and then I want us to turn over to Psalm 119. And in Matthew 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way." Another way. Listen, before we were saved, we had a way that we lived. But once we're saved, we have a different way that we live. It's another way. It's a better way. It's His way and not my way. And you say, "Well, preacher, how am I going to have that way?" I'm glad you asked. Turn over to Psalm 119. You don't have to hold your place in Matthew. I don't know that we're coming back. And if not, it'll give you practice getting there. And so Psalm 119, and I want you to look at verse number 105. Psalm 119 and 105, and I know most of you, including myself, I have this memorized, but I want you to see it in God's Word. Just bear with me a minute. Psalm 119 and verse number 105, turn over there, and we're going to read this, and then I've got a couple more verses that I want you to see. And, you know, I'm glad. I've had people tell me that, you know, life doesn't have a roadmap and that there's no instruction manual with raising your children, but they're absolutely wrong. It does. I do have a roadmap. I know how to live. I have the Word of God. Sister Sarah and I was talking the other day. I think it was this morning we were discussing this, and she's got a Bible that she got. And nothing wrong with the Bible. It's King James. Pastor's wife still reads the King James Bible too. But you know, I'm going to just stop for a minute. I'm thankful for a wife that reads her Bible. And she had bought this Bible a while back, and she said, "I'm doing my best to give it an honest go." You say, "Preacher, I mean, what's she giving up on the Bible?" No, it's just it. Well, it's got, you know how your Bible has pages that are distinct to the Bible. And, well, it's written in such a format that it's more like a book. It's got a hard cover on it. And, there's no way I could ever preach out of it because you can't turn in it. And she had to put tabs on it because the pages are not really turnable and they really kind of run together. I like it where I've got verse 137 and then verse 138 and then verse 139 and so on. And, you know, we were discussing and I said, it's because people are trying to turn the Word of God from a Bible to a book. And this isn't just an old book. This is the Word of God. I think about Dr. Raymond Barber would open up the Bible and he would say, "Let's open the mind of God." And it is. God's given us all of His instruction right here. How important is it? The largest book in the Bible is the book of, or the largest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. The largest chapter in that book is Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. I believe God takes priority in it, believes it's important. And so Psalm 119, I find here that they left in a distinct way. They left guided by God's word. It might have been an angel. It might have been a messenger telling them. But what that angel told them was the word of God. And so they're guided by God's word. Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I used to preach about Sister Sarah moving the furniture so much, she quit moving it. And I didn't do that on purpose. She just quit moving the furniture because she knew I was going to preach about her. But I would go to bed, and this was when I had a secular job, and I would go to bed. And then in the morning when I would wake up early in the morning, she would have rearranged the furniture. And boy, I praise the Lord that we had like a little light on. Otherwise, I would have, my toes, I don't know that I could have kept them from being broke all the time. And, you know, how many times in our life have we stumbled? How many times in our life have we jammed our toes because we've walked in the wrong spot? Because we haven't followed the Word of God? Because we haven't used it as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? You know, I'm afraid that we try to use it. There at the cabin, we've found that everything can be battery powered. Now, we do have those that might remember when I brought the kerosene lamps in. I do have one of the kerosene lamps at the cabin, and you can turn it on. And we've only got one window in there. And in that, we've got a lean-to over it, and we call it our porch. But it blocks most of the light to the window. You don't really get a whole lot of light through that window. But we've got these lamps in there, and we've got several that are battery powered. And they're great, but they don't put out a whole lot of light. Now, we could turn it, and they have a lamp setting on it where you can pull it open and it's a lamp, or you can shut it and push a button and it can be a flashlight, or it's even got a flasher on there that flashes red in case you're in an emergency or anything like that. But my point is we try to use the Word of God as if it's some flashlight that's to go out there 150 yards and be able to see. And that's not how God guides us. Aren't you glad that God guides us where we are in our life? He doesn't show us where we're headed. He shows us where we are and the next step. That lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path doesn't mean that you're going to see down the path all the way. And there's some things that if he showed you right now would scare the living daylights out of you. Aren't you glad that he only shows us what we need to do for the next step? And then as we take that next step, he shows us the next step. And we're guided by the Word of God. I know you're going to say, well, preacher, I don't know how to do that. You got to get in it. And God will reveal his truths to you. And through the Holy Spirit in you, he will show you and guide you his path and his way. Notice, if you would, I had just spent some time meditating about that thought that they left a distinct way and that they were guided by the Word of God. That's very easy to see. But in that guiding, I find it deeper than that. They weren't just guided by the Word of God. They were guarded by the Word of God. You're going to say, well, preacher, I don't understand how they were guarded. If Herod was willing to kill all the children of 2 years and under, what do you think he would have done to these wise men who worship Christ? What do you think he would have done to these wise men that said that he was the king? And I find that God had guarded them through his word. I was just talking about stubbing your toe. How many times would God guard us from stubbing our toe? I've told you many times that we are our own worst enemy. And the problems that we have and the problems that we cause are usually self-induced. And yet, I find that God guards us from even ourselves. Notice, if you would, over at Psalm 119, I want you to look over a little bit and look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. In Psalm 119 and verse number 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Wouldn't it be good tonight if we said, Lord, I want that distinct way. I really don't want to be my own worst enemy. I sure want you to guard me from my decisions. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How in the world are we going to change? Well, it's only going to be by taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are we going to keep from sinning? Well, it tells us here in verse number 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what that's called? Guarding us through his word. If we would apply his word to our life, he would guard us from the heartaches that sin's going to cause. I want to remind you in James chapter number 1 that the Bible teaches us that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so, what's God trying to guard us from? How bad is sin? How much does sin really hurt us? I'm telling you, it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. It's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And it's going to take you further than you want to go. I wonder how many tonight are just out there crying because of what sin's done in their life. And yet God says, I'll protect you from it. And He's given us His word that we can guard ourselves through His word. Or He will guard us through His word. And He will guide us through His word. Oh, I'm thankful they left a distinct way. And listen, as we grow, you'll begin to see it that much more clear. You'll begin to understand that much more at how God has a distinct way for us to live. We're just strangers and pilgrims here. This world's going to say that we're crazy, we're weird. Listen, let them. I remember when I was growing up, when tattoos I remember the first time I saw someone with a nose ring, and now you can see through people's ears. And they were freaks. Listen, it should be normal for someone to live for the Lord. But I'm afraid that there's many that profess that they are His, but He's not producing anything in their life. How about you? Is He producing anything in your life? Are you allowing Him to have the reins and to change you into a product that He desires you to be? Now, I know some would say, well, preacher, I don't like to be considered a product. I don't like to be considered, some item and something owned. I'm reminded, and I'll close with this, over in the book of Exodus, as God is dealing with slavery and servants, He tells them that if you have a Hebrew slave, that they can only serve for 6 years. The seventh year, you must release them. But if you've given them a wife and they've had children, the wife and the children stay with the master. And just the husband would go out free. But if that husband loves the wife and the children and loves the master, he can become a bond servant. And that's where he would be taken to the post there in the city, and an awl would be driven through his ear in front of all of the elders of that city, and he would be what's considered a bond servant because he loved the master and he loved the wife and the children, the wife that the master had given. Now, of course, we know that Christ is a picture of that bond servant, that He loves the Father and that He loves the bride. But as the bride, we can do the very same thing in the fact that I love my master and I want to serve Him. I want to be the product that He wants me to be. And so, the product of the Redeemer, oh, my dear friend, not a greater honor than to be a child of the King and to live for Him. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, just for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace. Lord, would You help us tonight that we would just go ahead and sell out. I've got a message that You've put in my heart out of John 18, that we see where Peter has went from bold to cold to sold. And Lord, I pray that I wouldn't be sold to this world, but instead I'd be sold out for You. Lord, help us tonight to just go ahead and surrender. Lord, that we would be willing and excited about this revival coming up. Lord, that not because it'll be great to see Brother Danny, but not because of Brother Danny and Sister Pam and the kids. But Lord, it'll be great because I want to get closer to You. It'll be great because I know You've got a work that You want to do in me. And Lord, I know I'm not the only one. But instead, Lord, everyone can be helped through the preaching of Your word. But Lord, we'll only be helped if we'll surrender it to You. And we'll apply it to our lives. Lord, help us today. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Good to have y'all. Continue to pray for those mentioned this morning and this evening. Jeremiah still has a little low-grade fever. Still praying he'll get better. And just hoping to be back in service, of course, on Wednesday. We'll be back in-house. That's my desire. That's my goal. And we will see where the Lord brings us. Brother Stephen, it's good to see you all made it home safe. And appreciate that. And y'all need anything, please feel free to get a hold of me. And love y'all. And see you on Wednesday. Amen. Yes.
Hey, Dad. I love you.
I love you, Bubba. Yeah. All right. Stream's finished. Brother Allen said very good.
Hey, Dad, can we press play?
We got 3 likes. We had 32 views total.
Can we press play?
Hold on, Bubba. I think that's because some people had to get back on. I think most of it was like 15 views. I at one time we were up to 19 or 20, and then people were, you know, in and out. I don't know if it was their internet. I don't think it was ours. I think everything went fine without any glitches. So, amen. That looks like it's doing better. Sister Sutton said great massage. It was a typo. It's supposed to be message, but so anyway, amen. Brother James, Sister Adria, are you with us?
Hi, Brother. Hi, Sister Adria.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Jeremiah.
Amen.
How you been doing?
How you been doing? Are you feeling better? Say, he just took some medicine at 5:30, so it's definitely going along. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. No, I haven't. Brother Allen hadn't said anything else other than keep him in prayer. He's not doing well.
Yeah.
I'll probably wait a day or so and text Brother Allen. Get over here. I'll text Brother Allen and see if he's heard anything. So, yeah, get down before you fall. Get down.
No.
So, I'll be able to check on him and see if we can get that all figured out. I don't know. Yeah. I think he is. Yeah, I haven't went in there for a long time, but I think he does. If Chris's oldest son works, or last time I knew, several of his kids worked there.
Yeah. Oh.
So.
I think his oldest son and his youngest daughter, I think, work
there. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I think several of them do. But anyway, y'all doing okay? Uh-oh. Yeah, it's probably